Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
The IDP Managers Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
And the month of May stays hot. When the SGPN Fantasy Football Team also gives away a free Lamar Jackson jersey, just leave a 5-star review on our Spotify or Apple podcast to enter. Then direct message us your review at SGPN Fantasy on Twitter to confirm your entry. And SGPN Fantasy could select you as the winner May 31st. And so, the IDP Pro Manager Pod is a proud member of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, home of the hottest, smartest, and fastest growing sports gambling and fantasy football providers in professional sports entertainment to date. And now, without any further delay, here are your veteran senior IDP pros, Craig and Gary, sacking today's hottest NFL IDP. Damn it, sorry about that.
Happy Friday, everybody. You are back with the IDP Pro Manager Podcast. We're almost to the end of May here. Last time you're going to see our pretty faces in May. Gary, how is May treating you?
Not bad at all. It's actually, you know, it's been a great month. It's been a pretty solid year. So considering that, you know, Michelle had her heart defibrillator put in just recently and everything. Yeah. Loving life. How about you, brother?
Today's the last day of school for my kids. So that's going to add a whole nother level of interesting, as the summer always does with working from home. So yeah, we'll have that included in there with all sorts of baseball, swimming, summer school, all the fun stuff that they do throughout the year. But it's going fast the year so far. So, and we are going to be talking more rookies on the show today. But as first, we have news to go over here, sort of NFL relevant things and also a couple IDP relevant things. So ESPN's Mike Reese reports that the Patriots forfeited two voluntary OTAs for violation of off-season rules. This is not the first time that has happened to the Patriots. It kind of seems like every couple of years they run into this. In IDP news, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Seahawks cornerback Tariq Woolen underwent knee surgery and will be out until training camp. Of course, he was sort of the late-round pick cornerback that came out and played amazing for them last year, and they drafted Devon Witherspoon to team up with him. So hopefully he will be good to go for training camp and for the regular season. NFL owners passed a vote to allow Thursday night football flex scheduling. Of course, the NFL saying we'll give you, I think it's 3 or 4 weeks of notice. But the NFL owners have approved another change, and this is in regards to the league's fair catch rule that would give the team the ball on the 25-yard line following a fair catch on a kickoff. This can certainly matter to those that are playing on special teams, whether you're a returner, you're a gunner, you're a kicker. Teams might be looking at players that can just kick the ball out of the end zone even more than they used to be here. So a lot of different moving parts here. They say they're doing it in the name of safety. Not a whole lot of positive reaction from the actual players themselves, coaches, GMs, anything like that. It's more like the owners and the NFL as the entity itself, you know, talking this up in terms of safety. We'll have to see if it actually has that return on safety, but certainly a lot of players are not a big fan of it. Even someone that got hurt last year, he got a concussion on a kick return, Packers defensive back Keyshawn Nixon, who did very well for the Packers last year. I think it was his first year. He was a rookie returner, I believe. But he gave them certainly a shot in the arm in the return game. Him on Instagram did not seem very pleased with the idea of this. So, Gary, this is going to affect a lot of people more than I think the average fan thinks.
I would think so. I'm still just stuck, like, especially after listening to Dan Patrick. It's really hurting a lot of players. It's going to have a chance just to be a regular Joe and be on an NFL team. I understand the NFL's point of view. I think the sentiment is it's kind of a smokescreen bullshit safety type thing. It could be, maybe. I don't know the numbers exactly. We don't know what kind of numbers they're actually giving or presenting either. But I think that it's a shitty deal for some guy that within a couple of years could actually turn around and become a starter. There are a lot of players over the years that have played these special teams and been aces and earned their way into a starting role and still as starters, even a handful of the main linebackers out there, inside linebackers, they still play a nice percentage of special teams. It's very important.
Yeah, you look at someone like re-signing there for another year anyway, Matthew Slater. He was a fifth-round pick in 2008 for the Patriots, you know, technically a wide receiver. But if you look at his career statistics, you know, he barely played on offense for them. Right. But he's a 10-time Pro Bowler because of special teams and just what he brings to the field there. Been an All-Pro a few times, you know, second-team All-Pro as well. You know, you can make your name, and some of those guys, like you mentioned, do end up leading onto bigger and better things than on the main defense or offense, just because, you know, they're shown to be guys who are going to put in the effort and hone their craft and do well. I do think this is going to hurt a lot of those people, and it is kind of sad that this is the way that it's going for their careers, probably. The safety idea, I love the idea of making the game more safer, certainly, but at a certain point, you're taking away from another aspect of it, and if it's not something that the players, coaches, you know, those people actually on the field caring about the game more than just optics.
Yeah, they're not the ones pushing for this. The players were not pushing for this. They're wanting to do this. They're like, hey, let's play ball. There's got to be an element of some old-fashioned football in this game. There has to remain some kind of physical contact and gritty gridironness to this.
This isn't the first change, of course, to the kickoffs. You know, they've taken away the wedges and all that stuff where you can't be forming these blockades for people to fly down and bust them up. You know, some of that makes sense, but we'll have to see if more happens. This is only for 2023. That was mentioned several times. This is not a permanent change going forward. They're kind of giving it a try and giving it a see what happens this year and the reaction to it. Have you guys signed up for your Edge Boost yet? If not, you are missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances. That's up to $2,500 you can add to your bankroll. And today's hot double down by IDP Pro Players Pod, Johnny the Greek, and his Edge Boost double down play of the day is the Denver Nuggets to win the NBA championship. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Moving into the meat of the matter here on the show today, we have more rookie talk. So we sort of, you know, moved away from it a little bit there. We talked about some divisional stuff. We're going to be going back to what we have everyone's talking about this time of year still with the NFL draft done is the rookies. We're kind of going to be looking at some positions, see what we like in terms of the top three for inside linebackers, defensive ends, interior defensive linemen, defensive backs. You know, there's all sorts of different scoring out here, Gary. I know you used to work with fantasy pros in terms of how their stuff went there. A lot of people go there for the rankings, and they'd list how they have their rankings set up. So what do you sort of like about their scoring system, which is how they get their rankings set up?
To be clear about that, I actually worked with the news desk. I did rank for a couple of years, so I'm not a huge ranking guy. You know, there's a lot of ranking going on during the off season. I'm more of an in-season start sit fella. So, and I also want to remind everybody that if you check out Twitter at the at IDP Pro Managers Pod, and mine at the IDP Tipster, probably on Craig's at Roto Heat Craig, IDP Pro Players Pod, you know, got a Roquan Smith jersey we're giving away for the Breast Cancer Classic. You know, only thing you got to do is donate $3 and show that you did, and you can be entered to win this jersey. Plus, you're going to get an SGPN $25 gift card, so you can get some mesh shorts or a hat or something to go with that jersey. And then you automatically get an entry to the Breast Cancer Classic, where you can win some more prizes next year. Definitely check that out. But back to Baltimore, and I think we just talked about Trenton Simpson.
We're getting through it here. And yes, if you look over there for the IDP players, in terms of the top-ranked rookies currently, dynasty-wise, Trenton Simpson of the Baltimore Ravens is listed as one. Linebacker 21, so, you know, within the top, if you're in a 12-team league, within your linebacker two in a dynasty draft, mm-hmm. It kind of seems like he's being taken there.
Back to the fantasy pros, because this, you know, progressive moment is over now. So leading into Trenton Simpson, this is real easy. So if you look at fantasy pros, if you're using fantasy pros, keep something in mind is the rankings are based on their score setting format that they give rankers to use to make these rankings. It's a little bit more tackle based than what a lot of balanced leagues that I've seen out there that may lean a little bit heavier for the defensive line. This one with fantasy pros almost leans a little bit more defensive back than defensive line in the balancing of the IDP. I personally prefer DL a little higher, DBs a little lower. There's all kinds of them, but everybody's preferences are different. To let you know what we're going over, I'm not ranking now, but I just generally went over fantasy pros rankings as IDP together and drew out all the rookies. So number one is Simpson for Baltimore, as you mentioned. I don't understand why anybody would be ranking him so high right now, because I do believe Patrick Queen could be had. He's probably on the block. But even if that happens, I don't see them instantly like giving whoever replaces him a bunch of snaps like Patrick Queen had last year, because traditionally they only used one inside main linebacker all the time before Roquan Smith was traded there. And then it shocked everybody when they was using both Patrick Queen and Smith same time, 100%. That just hadn't happened in a long, long time in Baltimore with Harbaugh there. That's not necessarily going to be a lock to happen if Patrick Queen, it's not even a guarantee Patrick Queen's going to get those same kind of snaps this year. We have Kyle Hamilton sitting on the edge in the box, getting ready to have a better year probably. There's all kinds of things that are about to happen that I do not understand why Simpson would be ranked the highest amongst rookies in their rankings at the moment. And that wouldn't matter if there was only three consensus guys that's done it, or if there was 20, it shouldn't matter. Kind of blindsided me. How do you feel about it?
I think it really just depends on how you're looking to play dynasty football. If you're really projecting 5 years out and you had Simpson as a better prospect somehow over Campbell, and I'm sure there's some people that do. I'm not saying that that's the wrong take or anything, but most people had Campbell. Some people had Sanders. There's a little bit of Simpson talk that I heard, but he's made a huge jump after the draft to a spot where he didn't have top draft capital. He didn't go to the best situation, because even if he does play that much, he's competing with, mentioned him, the probably best linebacker in the game right now from a pure linebacker point of view with Roquan Smith. So you're already playing second fiddle to him, where someone like Jack Campbell, you can see a world where he is the main guy and they're sort of building around and filling in the linebacker spots in the next few years in Detroit. Same thing with Drew Sanders. You know, Josie Jewell's a free agent after this year. Singleton's got like 3 years or so. You could see Drew Sanders being the guy of the future there. You start going down the line, you know, DeMarvion Overshown, He's got Micah Parsons there. I don't see him going. Noah Sewell's going to have to compete with Tremaine Edmonds and Edwards. Simpson seems like he fits probably in that second tier of linebackers a lot better. Even if you project him to have a good career, they've committed to Roquan Smith. I don't think he's just going to be potential
he's top still 10, young.
12 linebacker.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just confused, you know, but that's why we're going over this and kind of getting there. And that's going to lead us into their number two, which was – oh, I ought to mention real quick, if you have any interest in what Fantasy Pros is giving out to their guys and telling them to use, in solo tackles, it's 1.5. Assisted tackles, only 0.75. Tackles for loss, 2 points. Sacks, 4. Interceptions, 5. Fumbles, 4. Fumble recoveries, 4. Defensive touchdowns, 6. Safeties, 2. Passes defended, 1.5. Just to let you know, I mean, it's a good system. It's just knocking down the DLs a little bit. So that's why we're probably seeing a little bit of different rankings that we might have actually presented off the top. I'm going with Jack Campbell. Of course, that's number two. We'll talk about him later, actually. But Jack Campbell is their second highest rookie linebacker, 23, actually, in there for Detroit. I actually, you know, I've got a pretty strong opinion, and we had the news about Rodriguez, I believe, getting hurt. I have no update if it was serious or not. Maybe I'll look into it real quick. But where was he before you had a peek at these for you?
Campbell, in pure IDP players this year that are rookies, he was number two. I have Will Anderson over Jack Campbell. I'd have to go back and look at my rankings. I keep mixing around Jack Campbell and Drew Sanders at 2 and 3 just because I think long-term I like Sanders better. But certainly early on, it's going to be Campbell quite easily out of the linebackers.
Now, between Simpson and Campbell, where are you at?
I have Simpson probably around linebacker 4 or 5. Maybe he's 3. I don't think so. I mean, I don't have my rookies in front of me. Everybody, you can go find me on Twitter and check those out if you want. But I mean, Simpson, if we're talking tiers, because I do like that better, you know, he's clearly a tier below where you'd have Jack Campbell for dynasty linebackers. I like Simpson a lot, but dynasty is a mix of now and later. It's not just now, and it's also not just later. You can't always just be living for the future either. So he's in the second tier of linebackers for me.
The IDP Pros Podcast is brought to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. And not only do you get an amazing pair of sunglasses at 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection plan in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by their lost and broken replacements policy. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they've told us they'll send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you make the purchase. If you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair or return them free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well, with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use the promo code SGPN for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt and head on over to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win $500 in the Shady May contest.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So the top of this rookie rankings, Gary talked about, it's sort of linebacker heavy is the way that this is set up. But we do have Will Anderson jumping in here. He's the fourth rookie in terms of just ranking by number, but he's the defensive end 12 overall, which feels pretty high for a guy. I mean, yeah, he's very heralded coming out of college, going to a good spot where they certainly need a pass rusher and a good defensive coach. From what we've seen of his defenses so far, we haven't seen him as a head coach, of course. Does that feel a little high to you for Dynasty, having up in the top 12 already? Or is that just kind of par for the course, like when Chase Young came into the league and he was already anointed as being up there?
Did we cover Sanderson?
Maybe okay. I talked about it. If you want to talk about Sanders, feel free to.
Third on the list here with Fantasy Pros. I was going to mention him. With Juice Sanderson in Denver on Fantasy Pros, they have him ranked linebacker 34 dynasty-wise. He's probably going to have to sit behind Josie Jewell here for a year. They just gave Singleton that huge contract. So if you covered that, I don't know how I missed it, but I did.
That's all right. Yeah, I talked about him in terms of the other linebackers here, and you know how Jewell has about a year, so he's going to sit for at least a year probably.
It was probably why I was sitting here looking up. There is no update on the Detroit Lions Rodriguez at the moment. The newest news that I can see is around the 16-hour mark, so it's all basically the same. That'll be an interesting situation. Definitely high for Will Anderson Jr. at 12, but at this moment, I don't have a huge objection to having them higher to begin with, just by positional value. To me, there's probably 8-9 solid veterans now that I would definitely want to take before I take a swing at Anderson in a dynasty league. If I'm starting a couple of them, he's going to have to get us some help. Is he toted as Myles Garrett? No, he's not. So I don't think he's going to go in there and make a huge impact on his own. They need to build this defense around him. It's going to take 2 or 3 years to do it. He could have a good rookie season, a solid rookie season. You've got to stick him somewhere. It's a shallow position to be ranking to begin with.
Yeah, and you have another rookie right after him in terms of the IDPs. After DE12, DE13 is Nolan Smith, guy who a lot of people thought would be drafted higher than he was. Certainly he has the physical talent, but he didn't get a whole bunch of those splash plays. He was more of a tackle heavy guy, even at Georgia, compared to sacks and the tackles for a loss. But he goes to a team where he's not going to be asked to be the guy compared to Will Anderson. He's going to have Reddick there across from him and a really talented young and old defensive line there. I think Nolan Smith probably feels too high to me, more so than Will Anderson. I'd rather take Anderson at 12. I don't think I'd be comfortable taking Nolan Smith at 13, even though I do like him a lot. And that will go into your league scoring too. If it really is a tackle heavy league, Nolan Smith probably has more value than some of these guys who you think are just going to be sack artists at the NFL level. But just going off the top of my head and when I've done my own rankings, defensive end 13 feels high for Nolan Smith.
Definitely does. And I'm not convinced in the long run he's going to be that type of edge rusher. I mean, I get it. Everybody's that I'm seeing when I'm looking at reports and articles and everything is suggesting that he's going to be Hassan Reddick's replacement eventually. And he's a small guy. Okay. I know he's a hell of a rusher, but he's not as big as Hassan Reddick. And it's going to take some time and some meat to get him up to that level where he's going to be able to put all that together as an edge rusher. I still think that it's possible when we have OTAs around the corner that we could see him playing some regular inside linebacker, as I might have over-assumed to begin with that he would be maybe displacing Nicholas Morrow. So I'm not real quick to crowd him anywhere at the moment. He doesn't have any first-year dynasty appeal to me to begin with, because I think he's probably going to end up not being utilized very much at all this year.
I agree. And we'll get into the next sort of group of players, including our first defensive back, right after this.
Fact: the National Breast Cancer Foundation reports that a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer every 2 minutes. And we already know finding new innovations in research, surgical options, and clinical trials is essential to finding a cure. And to all those fantasy football ladies that may be listening, we also know with early detection, your survival rate goes up. And that's why breast self-exams are very important and the best way to give your old girls their best fighting chance to win the championship. So, with all that being said, the fellas here at the IDP Pro Players Pod would like to remind everyone, the National Breast Cancer Foundation does take donations, so please, go and give what you can. And let's give our mothers, our wives, our sisters, and every woman, the support, the resources, and maybe even more importantly, the hope, by knowing we all really do care.
And as Gary mentioned earlier, remember that we're having the Breast Cancer Awareness Giveaway, where if you donate $3 or more to any National Breast Cancer Society or organization and send a copy of the link in the snapshot of the donation to the IDP Pro Players Podcast, and then you share their post, which Gary has shared, I've shared, you can find on all the different socials on Twitter for the IDP Pro Manager and Player Pods. Johnny the Greek shared it as well. Share that post with the hashtags IDP Pros, NFL, and IDP, and with a snapshot and all that on there. And then you are going to be entered to win that Roquan Smith jersey giveaway. It is Roquan Smith with the Ravens now. Plus, there's a free entry to the 2024 IDP Pros Breast Cancer Classic. And there's one $25 SGPN merch store gift card, so you can get those shorts and look like Gary when you're out there meeting the young kids in badminton.
Y'all see that overhand, man? It's make that little bird whistle.
I haven't played badminton since probably high school when we had a class on it, so I'm sure you'd beat me at this point.
I don't know. I can't jump real high. That's why I like a low net.
Going through the Fantasy Pros rankings on here again, next for IDP rookies, we got Brian Branch, the first safety, going as safety 30. And that feels like maybe it's a little bit low to me. We know that, you know, safety is a position where there's a lot of flux year to year, and there's like that tippy top tier, and then just a whole bunch of players clumped together. But from what we saw out of Brian Branch and the fact that, you know, Tracy Walker, he's starting to get a little bit older. He got banged up. Not sure he's going to be around there long term. Brian Branch has that mentality and that flexibility to play all over the defensive secondary. I like him a lot. And again, off the top of my head, that feels like it's a little bit too low to me if we're talking dynasty.
Well, it's kind of rough. You got Kirby Joseph sitting there, and you still have Tracy Walker under contract, at least for the rest of this year. I think he might be a free agent after this season. Yeah, there's no reason not to think that if you're, you know, dealing with the defensive backs, that he should be ranked a little bit higher, possibly. Kind of dime a dozen. The positions in Detroit, I can tell you this much. Well, we know this much. Both safety positions are pretty shiny little diamonds when it comes to IDP, if you have to have them. And they usually don't carry huge name players like Buda Baker or such. So these guys are definitely, if I'm looking at one for the future, considering the draft stock that they've put into defense over the last couple of years in Detroit, I got to bite it, and I got to have him up there as my top DB or safety off the board.
Kirby Joseph had a great year, third round rookie, and then they just came back this year and took Brian Branch in the second round, even higher. Mm-hmm. So either they're looking at pairing the two of these together, or they're not as much sold on Kirby Joseph, or they're going to look at playing three safeties more, because we've seen that too. A lot of NFL teams are switching to that model just because fewer linebackers on the field as a result of them generally not being able to cover as well, and teams going to that more of a pass-happy offense with, you know, 3-4 wide receivers on the field. We'll see what happens there, but these are clear, and they're also top clear defensive back and safety. Then we start getting down here into some, I'd probably call this my third tier or more if I was doing it myself, linebackers, DeMarvion Overshown in Dallas and Noah Sewell in Chicago, right next to each other, linebacker 65 and linebacker 66. Which one of these two do you like more, Gary?
I got to tell you, I'm probably Overshown a little bit, but I have very little interest in these fellows right now. We're at that point where a lot of these guys I wouldn't be really putting a lot of draft stock into. Overshown, he's mainly a pass rusher, but he's got a huge amount of pass rusher depth around him. Don't see him having a clear path for maybe 2 or 3 years as even one of the main pass rushers that'll end up getting a majority of the snaps, and especially at a linebacker designation that's going to take on tackle base. You know, we're going to be looking for tackle points, and at a linebacker, I don't think that's a good ranking in my point of view. You're the Dallas fan. What do you think about that one?
I like the two linebackers way farther down better. At 77 and 78, there's Owen Pepo of Arizona and Dan Henley of the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I like those two better than either Overshown or Sewell when you're talking about dynasty rankings and even, right, honestly, this year rankings, because I think Pepo, they have a messed up linebacker core there in Arizona. It kind of seems like they're not – I don't want to say they're tanking because that's a dirty word, but right, it kind of seems like that team's trying to do a reset on things mm-hmm. in there in Arizona, mm-hmm. and with your linebacker core kind of being a mess, why not see what you have in the young guy? And I think he will get immediate playing time. Right. And out of the four of them, I like Dan Henley even more with his situation in the Chargers and his ability to play in coverage. I think he's going to see the field, if everyone's mm-hmm. healthy and everything's equal, the most out of these four linebackers that we're talking about. So the value of him at 78, you know, it's not crazy. It's like 12 spots or something, but I like him a lot more than Overshown at 65. Right. And I agree with you on Overshown that it's going to be hard for him to see the field with any meaningful playing time right away. They've invested in some guys in this similar sort of rounds with Jabril Cox, I think was like round four or something. Damone Clark mm-hmm. was in round five, but that was just due to injury. And he was healthy and playing last year. He probably would have been a day two pick, second or third round, if he was fully healthy. He's got competition there. And we know it's Vander Esch is the main true linebacker. And then Parsons, for whatever you want to call him, he's going to be on the field too. So,
right.
And Sewell, right, like I mentioned, he's got Edwards and Edmonds that just gave huge contracts to. I don't want yeah. the Bears' third linebacker.
Yeah, with Jack Sanborn hanging out. So, all right, we're actually rolling. Let's stop at this point and just continue that pace that you just hit, my friend. Because as far as I'm concerned, looking at the rest of the list, so we have Overshown, Sewell, as you mentioned, Sidney Brown. I'd take him first, and he's a DB. I'd take him over both of those options.
Yep, I would
Jalen
too.
Jalen Carter's sitting there, I don't know, right after that. There's a lot of better looking. Miles Murphy is down even below a few more to battle. I'd take Miles Murphy, which is way down on this list, over Battle, over Brown, over Seuss, Overshown, Branch, probably Nolan Smith. He would be up there just because of the positional value if I'm looking at a dynasty league long term. That's what it's about. And when it comes to dynasty, if you can't get those instant guys, this is going to be dynasty relevant from year one or become some part, then after that, definitely my suggestion is switch to positional values. And granted, in fantasy pros, they're ranking for linebackers and defensive backs. We've came to that determination. It's a little bit more tackle based than what some balance or big plays would be with the sacks bringing up the DLs. Point would be there are so many linebackers compared to defensive line that you can afford to let these rookies slide and never miss them.
Well, and even someone that isn't in this like top part of the list here, I mean, Tyree Wilson, I didn't see his name on there at all. Chandler Jones, he had a really nice end of the year last year, but he's getting old. He's going to, off the top of my head, pushing 33, 34. He's not mm-hmm. going to be around there forever. He's a great guy to learn from. You're going to be across from Max Crosby. I'd take Tyree Wilson way up on this list above. I mean, I'd have the list right. moved around, but he'd be somewhere above this, you know, second set of linebackers with Overshown, Sewell, and take him over right. Pappo, you know, JL Skinner's right. up there for a safety. So
up there, above. Yeah, I don't understand. I'm kind of irritated about right after Miles Murphy, then you have Breezy and Brian Chancey, Brzee. which are defensive tackles, which when you're playing defensive tackle or defensive line, you don't want a defensive tackle for tackle base. Unless you're starting 15 defensive linemen or something. This is so deep. Give me Joey Porter Jr. on this list. If I've actually got to stick to doing IDP at this level, I'm not interested in these guys. I don't think that in a tackle base or tackle friendly, they should even be up in the top 20. We should probably still see a few defensive backs. And this is the area that I allow Swell and Overshown or whatever to stay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you. I agree. And if you agree with us, make sure if you're watching over on YouTube, you smash that subscribe button and like this video and turn on notifications while you're there. That way you can be alerted anytime we or any of the other great content at SGPN are going live.
What's that? Your computer has another virus? Well, my friend, you need help to stop your obsession with the dirty O. All of this searching for air yards and yards after catch and blah, blah, blah. Stop your dirty O obsession by searching for the IDP Pro Players Podcast instead and focus on the other side of the balls. I mean ball. The crew on the IDP Pro Players Podcast care about you and your technology by holding true to their no dirty O mantra. Every week, Gary and John bring you the IDP content you need to save your rosters and dominate your league while avoiding the dirty O. So save your technology by tuning into the IDP Pro Players Podcast with your longtime and totally unoffensive veteran hosts, Johnny the Greek and Gary the IDP Tipster. Follow them on Twitter at capital I, capital D, capital P, R-O. One word at the IDP Pro Players Pod.
All right, so anything more within these Fantasy Pros rankings you wanted to go over before we sort of touch on our top three guys at each of these positions?
I guess the main thing I want to point out at this point is this will change drastically over the next month, over the next 2 months, how their rankings work. They're just now starting to get guys that are confident in their rankings and they're going to start adding, and they're going to go from 10 guys doing it to 50 to whatever, however many there are doing it now in this competition or this rankings for everybody. Definitely stay on top of this. It's going to be a rotation. This one was taken off. I just double checked. It didn't look like it changed, but I did it on the 23rd. Give it a month. It's going to switch. Just letting everybody know, we're not exactly cracking on this. We're trying to make sure that we're helping whoever's listening that is looking at Fantasy Pros as a popular place to get your site rankings, that they haven't adjusted yet. So we're going to let you know. Looks off at the moment. Give it a little fine tuning. We'll see before the preseason.
With any rankings, if people's names are usually attached to them, if you have questions about how someone got to it, feel free to hit them up. People should have an explanation as to why they have someone ranked where they do compared to someone else, as long as you're talking in a respectful manner and trying to understand. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's where, people have differing opinions. We're not always right. They're not. Well, Gary might be always right. Just make sure you're respectful and trying to gain information, and maybe you're going to see it their way too, and maybe we're completely off, but that's what's going to be important, is making sure you understand how someone's getting there and you're not just blindly following anyone.
That overhand swing, when I do get you on the badminton court, man, I'm going to use it. I'm going to go over real quick before we do get in our top three. I want to give out what we have in the Breast Cancer Classic as a balanced, what I feel is a balanced across the board IDP scoring format. And when I also mean that, it also fits with standard PPR in most formats as well. Right up here at the end of the year, you should have some IDP in the top 32 as overall contributors, a couple of them at least. So with solo tackles, give me 2 points. I love 2 points. It's a little higher points here. Assisted tackles, give me one. I think it's well noted that they should get that. Tackles for loss, 2.5. Let's give those guys their credit for this getting into the backfield. Sacks, 5 points. I know it's modest. It's not much more than with the sacks at Fantasy Pros, but if you look at the half point, you get tackles for loss, and especially if you play on my favorite place to play is my fantasy football league, then that matters. So then forced fumbles were 3, fumble recoveries 3, defensive touchdowns 6, safeties 2. How many of those a year we get there, Craig? Not very many, do we? Passes defended 3. And I think that brings up the defensive backs, keeps those second linebacker 2 keeps the passes defended, help keep them up, because most of those guys are weak side linebackers in coverage. And it works out well. And defensive linemen, hey, you're going to have your all-stars up here carrying and anchoring your guys.
I'm just trying to find an answer to your question. And I know about the safeties. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13.
Hang out, folks. We're going to be
ranking. Perfunctory looked like maybe there were 12 safeties in the NFL in 2022.
Wow. Really? That's
it says 2 for the Bills, 2 for the Jets, and then Dolphins, Commanders, Falcons, Broncos.
Would you have thought it was that high?
Lions, Packers, Texans, Chiefs, Chargers. My guess was probably around 7 or 8, so it's higher than I thought it probably was.
That's what I was thinking, half a dozen grand total. Wow. Imagine that.
And also just going off of something completely different, but you know, talking about scoring systems, the one league that I set up when we set all this stuff up, gave more points to the rarity of the play, too, if it was a big play. So safeties are like 5 points in the leagues that I play in, too. And people are like, oh, that's a lot for a point. It's 2 points in the NFL. It's like, yeah, but then again, there's like 12 of them in the season. If you get one of them, it's a big deal. So we're rewarding it. So lots of ways you can set this stuff up.
Yeah, there's so many different types of scoring formats. But usually what we try to generally talk, or how I try to approach it when generally talking, so you have your novice starting. So you can usually generally tell by their questions if they are. And then even your standard players, that these people have been doing it for 5 or 6 years, they've got a huge grasp of it, and they understand this basic standard balance tackle-based talk that we're talking about. But then you start getting into these specialized crazy, crazy things where you're throwing extra points to the defensive tackle to make sure that he gets 6 points for his tackle instead of 2 points like everybody else or something. There's all kinds of them. But usually you got to progress to that. Don't look at these rankings, folks. If you're here, and you're any good, or you're in those, you should be an IDP pro by now. IDP pro, I just appreciate you hanging out. Start asking questions. We'll talk football.
All right, but going into our rankings here quick, as our show is wrapping up. Gary, who are your top 3 rookie IDP inside linebackers?
All right, my top dynasty inside linebackers, Jack Campbell, Lions. And I think that Rodriguez news, we'll take it with a grain of salt right now. You know, if it's negative, heaven forbid it's not. Give him a boost. The bad thing about that situation is you got to kind of look at what he's known for, and it's not coverage. And that's what Rodriguez was going to do next to Alex Anzalone. So which one's going to be cutting coverage? They're going to have a weakness there. A lot of production probably out of both of those positions, depending if it's the rookie Campbell and Alex Anzalone or not. With Rodriguez staying in the mix, and we're probably just seeing exactly what we did last year, at least to begin the season. But Jack Campbell, Henley for the Chargers. I mean, Kendricks is down there. Murray Jr. is subpar. He probably will start the season, but yeah, I think I can't say he can keep the job. And even if it's until next year or something, we got, you know, Kendricks getting old, and Jr.'s a free agent, I believe. And Henley's just sitting there. So, yeah, as a dynasty prospect, he's shiny. Sanders for Broncos, he's coming in there third for me. That's my top 3. You know, I just think he's probably going to be a starter at least by next year. I don't think they're going to ditch Josie Jewell. Just keep in mind, if you get Sanders shares, they're not sitting Singleton. If they're sitting anybody, it's Josie Jewell. And Josie Jewell has a serious injury history.
I got defensive ends, edge players up here. So no one's surprised. Will Anderson Jr. of the Texans is my first one. Guy I mentioned earlier, Tyree Wilson. Maybe not as much year one potential, but I have him as number 2 with the Raiders. And he's a guy with his size. He could certainly play actually down on the line a bit too if they wanted to try to have all 3 guys on the field at some point to pass rush. Injuries happen all the time in the NFL. He could get on the field for some spot starts or something too, and he's a guy that can move for a man his size. He was able to extend plays, get out there in coverage, so I like his long-term potential a lot there. And then I do have Nolan Smith as my number 3, And a lot of this has to do with the fact that I feel he does have a high tackle floor, where he may not get you those big plays, and this will matter, of course, for your leagues and your scorings, how that matters to you. But a guy that is going to be designated either an edge or a defensive tackle that's going to get what I feel to be quite a bit of tackles, just what we've seen out of him. My only question for him is his big play potential for those leagues where that matters, and then his health. Gary mentioned he is a smaller guy. He's had some injuries. How does he hold up at the NFL level? But he, if you can find videos online, he is, you know, strong as a bull. I mean, the guy for his size, it's amazing what he can do and what he was able to show against NFL caliber tackles. So I do still have him up here, just a little bit more concerned than the other two.
Interior defensive lineman, which is your defensive tackles, nose tackles. You already know my feelings on these guys, so drop them down your board a little bit. Use those picks for something a little bit better than Jalen Carter at one, Kansi at two, and Breezy at three.
If you're in a defensive tackle required league, like me and some of your other degenerates, these guys are names that you are going to want to mention. And if that scoring, Gary mentioned briefly before, that sometimes you have positional scoring where linebacker might get 1 point for a solo tackle, where a defensive tackle could get 2 points for a solo tackle, to try to even that out. So if you're in one of those leagues, pay attention to the defensive tackle rookie names, because there are quite a few guys that could get immediate playing time this year, it looks like. Defensive backs, generally not addressing cornerback this high. Dynasty-wise for me, it's going to be Brian Branch, who we talked about with the Lions early on. Sidney Brown of the Eagles, another player that is going to have some competition for players there like Reed Blankenship, Terrell Edmonds, but I think he's going to definitely have a shot to play and get on the field. And then another one, very similar situation. These two are close in the rankings for me. Jordan Battle, he was a third-round pick, I believe, out of Alabama, went to the Bengals. They're still figuring out what they're doing with their safeties there. Of course, they have Nick Scott, I believe, was the one that they got from the Rams.
Right.
And then they have Dax Hill that they had drafted last year at the very end of the first round. But Dax Hill also has played cornerback, both at Michigan in college and then at the NFL level in the nickel spot. I think you could see Jordan Battle in a similar situation where three safeties on the field a lot. You see Battle more than people think. And that's sort of our review of the Fantasy Pros rookie IDP rankings, and then a brief little top three for each of us, over each giving us half of the positions here.
You said sorta. I'm not getting any better at this today, dude. So this was it. It's this.
Well, not today, but there's always hope springs eternal for the future, Gary. So.
Yeah, okay.
Any final words for everyone? I know we're...
Yeah. Check us out next week when we're not doing this. And we're actually just back into our stock up, stock down by divisions and kicking it. And make sure you just check out all the podcasts that we got coming out. IDP Pro Players Pod, IDP Pro Managers Pod. Look at me.
Hey, you got them.
Have a great day.
And don't forget, Johnny the Greek's Edge Boost Double Down Play of the Day was the Denver Nuggets appearing in their first NBA championship to win the NBA championship. Edge Boost enables you to double down on your bet with no interest. Make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. We'll be back next week, as Gary said, but have a great weekend and a safe Memorial Day, everybody, and we will see you back next week.